So as we start to explore the story a little bit more, we're going to hear the story of the wise men's visit, which if you wanted to find it in the Bible, is at the beginning of Matthew chapter 2, but I am reading from the Lion Storyteller's Bible. The sky was black. The night was clear. The stars were bright as diamonds. Perfect, said the star watcher, just as it should be. But just then, God nudged the brightest star and sent it floating like a kite across the night sky. Quick, called the star watcher to his friends. Come and see, there's a new star. And that means a new king, said the second star watcher. Somewhere a new king is about to be born. I'll tell you what, said the third star watcher. Let's follow the star and see. So the three star watchers climbed onto their camels and set off after the star. When it zigged, they zigged. When it zagged, they zagged. Across deserts and mountains and rivers, until they reached the land of God's people, the Jews. We've come a long way, said the first star watcher to King Herod. We've followed a remarkable star, added the second star watcher. So can you tell us where the baby is? Added the third star watcher. The baby, born king of the Jews. King of the Jews? King of the Jews? King Herod repeated, trying very hard not to look upset. Let me speak with my advisors. And so King Herod called a meeting. A meeting that was, on balance, not very happy. King of the Jews, the king shouted. King of the Jews? I'm the king of the Jews. Yes, your majesty, his advisors mumbled. But God has always promised that one day he would send us a special king. Perhaps he's the one the Star Watchers are looking for. Muttered Herod. And where does God say this special king will be born? In Bethlehem, your majesty, the city of David. Send for the Star Watchers, King Herod ordered. I've decided what I should do. Gentlemen, said the king, the child you seek is somewhere in Bethlehem. Go to him, find him, then come and tell me where he is, so I can visit him too. The king said this with a smile, but his heart was black, black as a night without stars. For he had already determined that he would kill the child so that no one would take his place as king. The star watchers didn't know that as they left, but they soon found out. For the same God who nudged the star visited them in a dream and told them the king's dark plan. So they went to see young Jesus and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then they went straight home with stars in their eyes and God in their hearts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a question for you to talk about with the person sitting next to you. What do a microwave, Teflon and penicillin have in common? What do a microwave oven, Teflon and penicillin have in common? Share your wisdom with the person sitting next to you. And if there's no one sitting next to you, share your wisdom with yourself, with someone else on Zoom and the internet. But tell them what you think. So I wonder if you've shared your wisdom and your great ideas with the person sitting next to you. Does someone want to tell us one of the wise things that they've just been told? What do you think the microwave oven, Teflon, and penicillin have in common? Use your microphone so our friends on Zoom can hear as well.
I'm pretty sure they all three feature in the Sensational Science Top Trumps.
All three feature in the Sensational Science Top Trumps? Fantastic. What? Volunteer. What do you think?
Do they come from the earth?
Ooh, they do all come from the earth, but not quite. We have to get involved as well. Anyone else got any wisdom? Oh, there we go. I'm getting my exercise in now, so we'll get any revenge for me making you move around and do actions.
Were they discovered by accident?
Yes, absolutely, John. All three were discovered by accident. So penicillin is the one where I think we kind of famously know it was discovered by accident. The guy was trying to grow some bacteria samples, and there was mould in one of the petri dishes, and wherever that mould grew, none of the bacteria grew, which was devastating to his experiment, but good news for the rest of us, because it gave us one of our staple antibiotics. Teflon was discovered accidentally when they were trying to do research into refrigerants. The same kind of gases that they were using for refrigerants are in Teflon. And they had a gas cylinder that suddenly seemed to be empty, but still weighed the same. No gas was coming out. So they did what all good scientists do, which is cut it in half. And inside, they discovered this slippy, waxy substance, which they then developed into Teflon. And I love the last one. The microwave oven was discovered because someone was doing some work with an early radar set, and their chocolate bar melted. And he thought, oh, there's something in this, and would you like to know what he cooked for the first thing? Popcorn. So anyone who is having microwave popcorn at home, you are just joining in with the atmosphere of science and discovery that exists in the world by repeating such an important experiment. Sometimes it feels like God wants to be discovered. That is the most important thing that we can realize when we read this story about the Magi. It tells us right at the beginning something massively important. You see, the wise men, the Magi, the star watchers in our story, were people who were looking around the world. They were looking and being curious about what they could see, about how everything around them would be. But inside that, there's something really important that we need to know about God. God wanted the world to know that his son Jesus was being born. Now, we know this from the story we've told over the last few weeks. We've told the story of Mary and the angel, Joseph and his dream, the shepherds coming to see the new baby. All of them were told that this tiny baby was, in fact, the Son of God. But it wasn't just those stories where angels arrived. It was something that changed everything in the entire world. And God did this. He put a star in the sky, or moved a star, or created some sort of astronomical event. Astronomic star-based event. And the wise men who were looking around saw that something had changed. And it piqued their curiosity enough that they didn't just stay where they were. We are going to learn something from the wise men today. And the first and most important lesson is that we should stay curious. We don't know a lot about the Magi, about what they were doing, but we know they traveled from outside of the Jewish world, and importantly, outside of the Jewish worldview. They weren't looking at prophecy as to how they should understand the world. They didn't know the stories that God was going to send a king to be with his people. They just noticed that something in the world had changed. They were looking at the world. They were measuring the world. And it makes me wonder, how much do we look around us with the same curiosity? Do we look at the small things in our lives and notice the moments where God might be at work in our surroundings, in our story? Do we take time to look up and see the big things around us and understand how God's big story is still coming true all around us? Do we join the dots between those two things and see that God is always on the move? One of the things that we need to copy from the wise men is holding on to both the sense of curiosity to see where God is at work in the world and also a sense of wonder to appreciate the things that God has done. And that's where we began our service, exploring this story together. Those amazing things which we'd seen. The night sky, the Grand Canyon, the Northern Lights, volcanoes, birth of children. In all of these moments, we see the wonder of creation. And when we hold on to that wonder, we begin to see the little signposts that God scatters around the world to point us back to him again and again. If you're trying to think of what habits you might want to try and find in 2026, my encouragement to you is take time to be curious. Take time to stop and look and ask questions and wonder whether God might be in the middle of the thing you're looking at. What is the next lesson that we can learn from the wise men? Lots of people, having spotted this amazing thing happening in the sky, would have stayed where they were, maybe measured it and tracked it, and if you're lucky, written it down. But that's not what the wise men did. The wise men decided that the first thing that they would do is that they would go on a journey. They didn't stay at home. They traveled out into the world. They left everything that was familiar to them, packed all their belongings, took the things they thought they would need, and journeyed together out into the world. What we don't know is how many times they got lost along the way. The old adage is if the wise men had been three wise women, they'd have arrived on time without having got lost with more practical gifts. But we know that the wise men got lost at least once because they were headed for Bethlehem and ended up in Jerusalem. They took risks on their journey, not to necessarily get to where they were going the first time with no mistakes, but to explore and be on that journey together. I wonder for each of us, how willing are we to take those risks of wrong turnings? Because actually it's in those wrong turnings that God's story is able to unfold. We know that when they arrived in Jerusalem, they caused a massive kerfuffle. It's a technical political term. Herod was furious that this new king would arrive. But it means that we then point the arrival of these magi in with the work of the theologians, of the prophets, looking at what would happen. And when they arrived, we get to join together the dots that the star would be another sign of Jesus' arrival. To pick up our Christmas, our Advent theme of prophecy, this is another moment where prophecy is fulfilled. They went on that journey and discovered what God would have for them as they arrived. So if you are looking for your year ahead and you want to be like the wise men, how will you step away from your comfort zone and go on the journey that God invites you to follow him on? How will you step away from the things that are stopping you getting closer to God and take the risks that might mean you get lost, but that also might mean that you discover the wonder and glory of what God is doing? What's great is this catastrophic mistake that the wise men make, which very nearly gets Jesus killed, just gives God another opportunity to intervene. God sends the wise men a dream, and they are wise enough to listen to the dream and to not go back to Herod. God works even when we mess things up to bring his kingdom to come and to lead us as we seek to follow him. So how about this prophecy that got fulfilled? One of the things that's very confusing for clergy and ministers and anyone trying to talk about this story is, what on earth do we call these three travelers? Bob Hartman goes with star watchers. Magi is the word that we find in Matthew's gospel, but we sang about three kings. So where is it that we get this idea about three kings from? Well, one of the things that people try to do is tie together prophecy with the life of Jesus. And when that was being undertaken by the Catholic Church, they looked at Psalm 72, confusingly Psalm 71 as far as they were concerned, because they count their psalms differently. But they looked up and saw that it said this in verses 10 and 11 of Psalm 72. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him with gifts. May all kings bow down to him and nations serve him. So we looked at the three travelers from distant lands with enough wealth to be able to travel to that place. We looked at Psalm 72. We put two and two together and got seven. And so we think of the wise travelers as kings. But there is something really beautiful in the imagery of kings because of what the wise men do next. When the wise men arrive, We always think of the three gifts first, but that is not the first thing that the Magi do when they arrive at Bethlehem, when they discover the Christ child. The first thing they do is to bow down in worship. They lay down their power and authority of this tiny baby or child, depending on timelines, and they worship him. They give up their power and put themselves under the power and authority of an infant king. If we want to be like the wise men in 2026, we need to learn to do the same, to approach God primarily in worship, then presenting him the gifts, then giving him our service, but first of all coming to God in worship, laying our crowns before God. So I wonder, how is it that you might take up that habit of primarily engaging with God through worship in this new year? Is it a case of you listening to worship songs at home? Is it a case of waking up each morning and saying to God, I worship you, I glorify you. The heavens, the world around me speaks of your glory, and so I praise you. I would encourage you that if you want to have that habit of being able to see God in the world, you need to first get into the habit of praising God and expecting to see God on the move in the world around you. So how will you worship Jesus in your life? So how can we be like the wise men? First, we have to remember that God is always trying to show himself to us, that we might know him, understand him, and love him. We must never let go of being curious, maintaining our sense of wonder so that we can see how majestic God is and how brilliant it is. We must be willing to set away from our own homes, to travel and journey with him, that we might encounter him on the road, unafraid of the mistakes we might make, knowing that God will use even our mistakes for his glory and his goodness. And we must worship him with the whole of our lives, because it's in doing that that we allow the kingdom to rule over our hearts. Should we still and pray just for a moment? Father God, as we start this new year, we thank you for the example of the wise men. We thank you that they wanted to know you. And I pray, Lord God, that that curiosity would tie together so many of the things that we do in our own lives, that we would seek you and search for you. I pray, Lord God, that we would be a church of curiosity and wonder, of looking to see how you are at work in the world. And when we spot you, that we would name your goodness and give thanks for what you do amongst us. Send your spirit upon us now, that we might spend this year following the pathway that you set out for us, in worship and service, that we might share with the world around us how good you are, and how you came to be amongst us, to save us and to carry us home. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.